whenever we do the whenever the national anthem is played, being military man, I know I'm not in uniform, but I can't help but salute. So, and there's many songs that are played that touch our hearts. We, you know, for many people, it's Amazing Grace or whatever. And there's many that touch my heart and make me tear up. But the one that's not in the Bible that makes me tear up is the national anthem, especially when you have like a stadium full of 10,000 people or whatever, however many's in there, and they're all singing the Star Spangled Banner. You can feel that energy. I have to wear sunglasses and because I got to cover my face because I got tears running down my face and all that because it touches me. But third time's a charm. I'm up here. Hello, I'm Kenny. Welcome to Milton Christian Church. If you're new here, one of the elders, Scott, our pastor, is not here this week. So far, I don't think I've bumbled too much. But I was asked to deliver a message today, and I thought today would be, neat today is to hear the story of Valley Forge, George Washington. You know, he was visited. I truly believe that our country was, you know, given to us by the Lord, formed by the Lord, given strength by the Lord. Everything that we have, everything that we produce, everything that all about the red, white, blue flag, like Carol was saying, matches the Christian flag. It's all about the Lord. So I'd like to share with you exactly what, well, this is the rendrance of what has happened, of George Washington's vision in historic Valley Forge. You doubtless heard the story of Washington's going to the thicket to pray in secret for aid and comfort from God. The interposition of whose divine providence brought us safely through the darkest days of tribulation. One day, I remember it well, when the chilly winds whistled through the leafless trees, through the sky as cloudless and the sun shone brightly. He remained in his quarters nearly all afternoon alone. When he came out, I noticed that his face was a shade paler than usual. There seemed to be something on his mind of more than ordinary importance. Returning just after dusk, he dispatched an orderly to the quarters who was presently in attendance. After a preliminary conversation of about an hour, Washington, gazing upon his companion with that strange look of dignity which he alone commanded, related the event that occurred that day. This afternoon, I was sitting at a table engaged in preparing a dispatch. Something seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld standing opposite me a singularly beautiful female. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed. That was some moments before I found language to inquire the cause of her presence. A second, a third, and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor, except a slight raising of her eyes. By this time, I felt strange sensations spreading through me. I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I essayed once more to address her, but my tongue had become useless, as though I had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession of me. All I could do was gaze steadily, vacantly, at my own unknown visitor. Gradually surrounding the atmosphere seemed as if it had become filled with sensations and luminous. Everything about me seemed to be rarefy. The mysterious visitor herself became more airy and yet more distinct to my sight than before. I now began to feel as one dying, or rather to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompanying dissolution. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move. All were like impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixed vacantly at my companion. Presently I heard a voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." While at the same time a visitor extended her arm eastwardly, I now beheld a heavy white vapor some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I looked upon a stranger scene. Before me lay spread out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. "Son of the Republic," said the same mysterious voice as before, "look and learn." At that moment, I beheld a dark, shadowy being, like an angel, standing, or rather floating, in midair between Europe and America, dipping water out of the ocean in the hollow of each hand. He sprinkled it upon America and with his right hand, while with his left hand, he cast some on Europe. Immediately, a cloud raised up from these countries and joined in mid-ocean. For a while, it remained stationary and then moved slowly westward until it enveloped America as its murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through at all intervals, and I heard the smothering groans and cries of the American people. A second time, the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it out as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back to the ocean, in whose heavying billows in sank from view. A third time I heard a mysterious voice saying, "Son of a Republic, look and learn." I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages and towns and cities springing up one after another until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. Again I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century cometh, look and learn." At this dark, shadowy angel turned his face southward, and from Africa I saw an ill-omened specter approach our land. It fitted slowly over every town and city to the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle array against each other. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel on whose brow rested a crown of light, on which was traced on the word Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between the divided nation, and said, "Remember, ye are brethren." Instantly, the inhabitants, casting from their weapons, became friends once more and united around the national standard. And again, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet in his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. By taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. Throughout this mass, there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America. Our country was enveloped in this volume of cloud. And I saw these vast armies devastating the whole country and burn villages, towns, and cities that I had beheld springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the canyon, clashing of sword, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I heard again a mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." When the voice had ceased, the dark, shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long, fearful blast. Instantly, a light of 1,000 suns came down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel, upon whose head still shone the word Union, and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descended from the heavens, attended by legions of white spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were will nigh overcome, but whom immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed in battle. Again, amid the fearful noise of conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." As the voice seized, the shadowy angel for the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then once more I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before, while the bright angel planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last." And taking from his brow the crown on which blazed the word Union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people, kneeling down, said, "Amen." The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I at last saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I at first beheld. This also disappearing, I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor who, in the same voice I had heard before, said, "Son of the Republic, what have you seen thus interpreted?" Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third, but in this great conflict, the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, for his land and the Union. With those words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein I had been shown the birth, progress, and destiny of the United States. In God we trust. I've read that several times, and I had heard many renditions of his vision. But that the one line right there at the end, where it says, "Together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious." And that's actually, I wanted to share that because this is our birthday and this is part of our heritage of Washington and what he did, obviously. But what I want to talk about is victory. Victory that Jesus has brought. Victories that he's brought in each one of our lives and throughout, from the beginning all the way through until now. As I said earlier, military. I'm not going to go into a bunch of any kind of military stories, but I will share a little bit about what Jesus has done in my life and in some of the other lives that I've been blessed to be a part of. Our Lord, our God, is so amazing. He loves us so much. He brings us victory. He brings us victory over our fears if we rely on Him, if we pray to Him. He brings us victory over our stumblings. I fall short. I fall short on a regular basis. And yet, He forgives me. And He gives me victory. When He forgives me, He gives me victory that day. When I recognize I've fallen short and I ask for forgiveness, that's one step, one more victory that He's given me as I go on through and try and do what He asked and spread the word. How many victories has He had throughout time, throughout His walk, before His walk on this earth? I know I talked before a little bit about The Chosen. I don't know if anybody else has been watching it. The different seasons are coming. I know that's fully homegrown, self-supported. So sometimes they have shows, sometimes they don't. And I had mentioned last time that Jesus seems so, and they portrayed him as, I mean, we know he's glorious and he's Jesus. But in The Chosen, they portray him so well as being able to feel and go through and joke and laugh and feel anger and different things. A man walked earth as a man. And I mentioned that last time, but this time, as I look at the disciples, we don't, you know, the good word is about Jesus, but there's something to be learned from watching the disciples too. And when they portray him in The Chosen, you see all the different characters, all the different types of people that we see today. We see some that are kind of prideful and some that are aggressive and a little bit gruff. Some that are really smart and good with numbers. And you know, I don't know who all has watched it, but Matthew is portrayed like a real, real numbers person. Some have even said that that was a good portrayal because Jesus used all these. Each one of them had a gift. As the Bible tells us, we're given a gift. And in Isaiah 42, verse 1, the reason why he gives us these gifts is because he knew us from way back when we were in the womb. It says, "Be now," this is what the Lord says, "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." We're his. And when you look at some of these characters in there, and they're all the different people, and I think about all the people that I've came in contact with in my walk, and I've tried to share the word with, and they do a good job portraying, I think, the different people that we come in contact with and that we have an opportunity to spread the word with. And if we could just reach one person, that's a victory. If we could just get past one moment of doubt, that's a victory. I don't know, many of you have heard some of my testimony. I've never really given a full count. And I have said this a couple times. And I'm not afraid to say it because I'm so proud of the fact that Jesus saved me. But I mean, I for lack of a better word, I played for the other team. I was worshiping the other guy, you know. I was the worst of the worst, which you could think of. But he gave me victory. He gave me victory because I was condemned. I was done. I was going to be crispy critter, burnt down there. But he saved me from that. And he saved me from that by the fact that he went to the cross and had victory there. Victory over death. He went, as he died, he overcame death, that victory, for us. So that in those moments of life, when we're stumbling or we're sinning, and many people, as our nature is, our sinful nature, we like to rank different, you know, what's a worse sin and what's a not as, you know, maybe just a little lie is not so bad. No, it's sin, it's sin, it's sin all the way across the board. And sometimes that's hard for people to understand and get because you look at some of the things that are so horrific. How can that be the same as, you know, stealing a 10-cent piece of bubble gum? But to God, sin is sin is sin. And he gave us the ability by that victory to overcome that sin. When he died and he overcame death and rose again, he gave us the opportunity to come to him. And he's waiting for us, just like that. Arms open. Arms open. His love is never ending. His victories are constant. And the one over death and being able to be forgiven so that we won't have to be condemned by our sins. Wow. What a victory. Not only a victory, but a blessing and a gift. And as we go through life and we experience some of the victories and we remember the victory that He gave us, that He shares with us, His victory, there's a verse, and we all know it, or most of us do, but I want to read it because it in Psalms is such a good book. But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. That verse is probably almost as well known as John 3:16. But it's a strong and powerful one because we can always count on Him. We can always look to Him. They looked to Him back in the days of Noah going through when they were battling. There was a lot of battles. I read the one, the Valley Forge. That was a battle that turned things around. But there were battles all through the Bible, and that he gave us victory on. And when I think, and I can't remember the name of the person that you're battling, but at the time during the battle, when Moses' arms were raised, we were winning. When they were down, we started losing. And he was getting tired of keeping his arms in the air. So Aaron came alongside and lifted his arms in the air. And that story alone just reminds me of how when we're in a moment of desperation, or we're in a moment of fear, we're in that moment of fear, that He's right alongside us. That He'll lift us. He'll lift up what needs to be lifted up. We can lean on Him. He will be our strength, our foundation. And He on a regular gives us that every day. I say regularly when we wake up in the morning and we open our eyes, we take that first breath in the morning. When you first open your eyes and you take that first breath, you started out with a blessing right there. First one, start out, bam, right off the bat. As soon as you open your eyes, start out with a blessing, gift. I don't even think I'm going to use that. But I had some victories and things that I was going to talk about in here, but I think it might confuse me. This is still new to me coming up here and doing this. But once again, He's given me victory because I'm standing up here doing it. I will share a problem that He's given me victory in that has directly came from the military, and it has to do with the 4th of July. For many years after I got out of the military, I couldn't necessarily, the 4th of July was really a trigger point. Actually, I would, my wife, the first night she actually came over and to check on me, was on a 4th of July. My mother called because she knew that I was in bad shape. All the explosions and all this trigger. And I was balled up. And year after year, it was the same thing. I know some have seen me experience some pretty heavy emotions in here when certain songs are played that remind me of what I experienced in the military. But at that time, I couldn't, 4th of July was just a no-go. I was balled up in my room, and all I had was myself and my pup and my prayer. And Jesus would be right there with me, and He'd be getting me through it. But He sent, I guess it was time. It was time to, Jesus is perfect in His timing. We know that, right? He's perfect. And he was allowing me to go through this for whatever reason for many years. And then it was time. And he sent her over there, and by the grace of God and his strength and his victory, I can actually deal with the 4th of July. I can actually see it. And that's only been 5 years. And I got out of the military in 98. And the things that I experienced were halfway through, were in like 90, in 90 during Desert Storm. So I had a long time of dealing with that, but yet he gave me victory over it. And I did want to share that a little bit. He gave me victory over that. That was a crippling thing, hearing all. And this should be obviously a time when we rejoice of happy birthday to our country and for the gift of the United States of America and being able to live here. But that was a time for me where I was not, and he gave me victory. So I do want to share that. But apart from that, It was the spirit of fear that was had me gripped, and the one thing I really want to share, that the spirit of fear is not something that he wants to. I truly believe that Jesus Christ only wants the best for us, and then we look in Romans, and Romans tells us that all things he does for our good. And I don't think he does. I don't think he sends the spirit of fear or the spirit of any of those negative spirits. And so when we experience that, all these different things that can hold us back, like the spirit of fear, we can have victory over that just by coming to Jesus Christ and saying, "Lord, please help me. Please be alongside me." And what we'll end up finding out is he was alongside us the whole time. He was right there next to us. I do want to share with you one last scripture in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 20, 3 and 4. It says, "He shall say, Hear, O Israel, today you are going to battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who comes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." Victory is I had it written down. Victory is said throughout the Bible 80 times, I think. And it's something that Jesus is a gift that he's given us. And it's something that we can count on, because 100% Jesus will always be there. One thing is for sure, is we can always count on the fact that Jesus is there. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And when I say Savior, I'm not only am I talking about from the fiery pits of hell in our own sinful natures, but I mean, he's a Savior from any situation that we feel lost in, that we feel deceived in. Do we feel that spirit of fear or anything? He's there, and you can always count on that. That's a constant. It's like his promises. They're there. It's a constant. He's going to keep them, period. I just praise God so much for this country, for this church, and all the people here. And I prayed earlier that he would use me as a conduit and speak through me. I don't know if this is helping. I know that no matter what I say up here or Scott says up here, we may get a drink of water when we come on Sunday, but we'll thirst again unless we take water from Jesus. We take a drink from the Word. We get in the Bible and we take a drink of His water. We will thirst no more. And that's a constant also. We can always count on Him. Will everybody pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all the things that you've done, what you've gone through, putting your son on the cross to be made fun of, to be ridiculed. Lord, I know that must have been hard. As a father myself, Lord, you look at your son hanging on the cross. Yeah, I'm sure it was hard to watch, but you did it for us so that we can have victory in Jesus. Jesus has victory and he shares it with us so freely. His cup overfloweth with love for us and caring. We can always count on you and your word. Lord, we thank you for this great country. We pray that it moves forward in your sight the way you would have it. And Lord, we just thank you for all the people that have given their lives and dedicated their lives to helping build this great country that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for those who are here today. I pray for those that are traveling and pray for those that couldn't make it. Those that are ill and sick, Lord, we just ask that you're with them. Thank you, Lord. I can say that over and over. Thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' powerful, loving, and precious name. Amen.